Connie had suggested I visit the bars on Lower Stark. On my list of favorite things to do, spending happy hour at the Rainbow Room on the corner of Stark and Liming fell just below cutting off both my thumbs with a dull knife. It seemed to me it would be just as effective and a lot less dangerous to sit locked up in the Cherokee and survey the street. If Clarence Sampson was in one of the bars, sooner or later he'd have to come out. It took several passes before I found a space I liked at the corner of Liming and Stark. I had a good view of Stark, and I was also able to see half a block down Liming. I was a little conspicuous in my suit, with all my whiteness and big shiny red car, but I wasn't nearly as conspicuous as I'd be sashaying into the Rainbow Room. I cracked the windows and slouched down in my seat, trying to get comfortable. A kid with a lot of hair and $700 worth of gold around his neck stopped and looked in at me while his two friends stood nearby. "Hey, babe," he said. "What you doing here?" "Waiting for someone," I said. "Oh, yeah? A fine babe like you shouldn't have to wait for no one." One of his friends stepped up. He made sucking sounds and waggled his tongue at me. When he saw he had my attention, he licked my window. I rooted through my pocketbook until I found my gun and my neuro spray. I laid them both on the dash. People stopped and stared from time to time after that, but they didn't linger. By 5 o'clock, I was feeling antsy, and my rayon skirt had serious crotch wrinkles. I was looking for Clarence Sampson, but I was thinking about Joe Morelli. He was somewhere close by. I could feel it in the pit of my stomach. It was like a low-volt electric charge that hummed against the inside of my spine. In my mind, I walked myself through the arrest. The easiest scenario would be for him not to see me at all, for me to come at him from behind and spray him. If that wasn't possible, I'd have to talk to him and wait for the right moment to go for the spray. Once he was on the ground and incapacitated, I could cuff him. After I got him cuffed, I'd rest easier. By 6, I'd done the mental arrest about 42 times and was psyched. By 6:30, I was on the downside of the peak, and my left cheek had fallen asleep. I stretched as best I could and tried isometrics. I counted passing cars, mouthed the words to the national anthem, and slowly read the ingredients on a pack of gum I found in my pocketbook. At 7, I called time to make sure Morelli's clock was right.